This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joy podcast from LGBTQIA+ community radio station Joy 94.9. For more information and tons of other podcasts, head to joy.org.au.
Hi, Stephen. How are you?
I do indeed, and I'm just sitting here quietly listening to you two battling over who has the better taste in 80s. I'm having a giggle.
So how oh, come dear. Somebody...
We talked to the big issue, Stephen. You know that.
So how can somebody your age know who Scott Walker is?
Well, first of all, I am 42, and I did grow up, you know, in the 80s, and my dad, obviously, his taste went right back to the 50s, 60s, so, you know.
Right, okay. Yeah, I suppose you are in...
just the product of our time.
Yeah. I suppose because the 50s and 60s in particular, you know, like, it was a whole new world. It was after the Second World War, and music played such a huge part, and especially in, you know, like the UK, where you obviously that accent is a Scottish accent,
yep.
And so therefore music was huge in the UK, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely, you know, massively so, and especially I think because, you know, back in the day we didn't have necessarily as many distractions as we have now.
So, no,
that's true.
No,
that's true.
Yeah. Listening to cassettes was a big deal on the radio.
Yeah.
Hey, there was an article in today's Age. But the guy that invented the cassette player has just died.
Yeah.
From back in the late 60s when he came up with the idea. What an amazing invention when you think about it, a cassette player.
Do you know, David, honestly, it's one of those things when people talk about science, right? And essentially my brain sees science as magic. And I can't really think of a better example of magic than how can a little ribbon going round and round and a piece of plastic make music. I do not know. I'll never understand. Even if someone explains it to me, I will not know. It's just mad.
But then, if you think about it a bit further, Stephen, that the same thing happens with videos and film, isn't it? I mean, it's the same. It's a tape
and
as well.
CDs, you know, I don't know how any of these.
Yeah,
things.
I know.
How does the
we just see the end product, don't we? That's it.
Well, the story in today's paper is that he. You know, had a reel-to-reel tape and it was coming all unraveled one time. And so he went into work and he worked for Philips, which is that Dutch company that was huge in Europe in the 60s. And he went, we've got to come up with something that, is a lot more simplified and it's contained. And that's what they came up with. God knows how many years they took to invent it. But, you know, like, the people's minds, And here's us, we're stuck in the arts. And you're stuck in going to the movies. So come on, tell us what movies are happening.
I better do them really quickly now.
No. It's our fault that we sidetracked you, so go for it.
Excellent. Okay, well, first of all, boys, I absolutely adored the first one I want to talk about, and that is, it's got a cracking name. It's called Judas and the Black Messiah. Now, if you are the sort of person that loves a kind of political thriller or, you know, social history, this is the film for you. So basically, what it revolves around the Black Panther movement in Chicago.
Yep.
In the late 60s, I think. Oh, God, I don't want to get that.
Yeah, oh, no, it was 60s. In the 60s. Yep.
Now, this is an incredible true story. And it's, you know, obviously there's the biblical reference in the film. And essentially what you have is the incredible British star of Get Out, Daniel Kaluuya, plays the leader of the Black Panther movement in Chicago, Fred Hampton. Now, he was an incredible public speaker with a fiery passion for social justice and campaigning for rights for African Americans and against police violence. Now, obviously, all of this, it's sort of depressing on one hand because you're watching this film and thinking, what has really changed? You know, it's a historical film, but a lot of it we're seeing playing out.
Absolutely, yes, yeah.
Yeah. And then on the other side of it, you've got another one of my favorite kind of up-and-coming actors, Lakeith Stanfield, who was brilliant in Knives Out, and he plays Bill O'Neill. Now, Bill was a bit of a car thief who kind of got picked up by the FBI, and the reason they picked him up is because they saw how ingenious he was at stealing. So they actually... Now, this is an incredible story. Basically, you know how absolutely paranoid FBI boss J. Edgar Hoover was?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Played by Martin Sheen here, very 1984. He appears on a big screen, first of all. It's very Orwellian. Now, he was the whole Black Messiah idea was he was terrified that someone, you know, like Martin Luther King, like Malcolm X, he was terrified of a charismatic leader who would inspire African Americans to rise up against the brutality that they were constantly undergoing. So anyway, they hit up Bill O'Neill. They say, you can either go to jail or you can infiltrate the Black Panthers. Now, he ends up being the security boss for them. He's worked by Games Night star Jesse Plemons, who is the kind of agent who oversees him. Now, this is one of those films you're going to sit on the edge of your seat the entire time. It's propulsively directed by Shaka King, who, if you've ever watched the comedy series Shrill on SBS On Demand, which is brilliant, I highly recommend. This is completely different from this. You know,
if you like that, this has got nothing to do with that.
Nothing to do with it, but oh my goodness, honestly, this is, I mean, first of all, what they went through and the way the FBI persecuted, you know, people who, you can argue till the end of the world whether, you know, some of their more forceful tactics, whether you agree with them or not, but no one's going to deny that they were massively persecuted and that this was a response to that. Look, these actors are incredible. Daniel Kaluuya, I believe, he got the Best Supporting Actor at the Golden Globe. You're going to see this one pop up on Oscars chat. I'm pretty sure of it. That's Judas and the Black Messiah, 4.5 stars from me.
Wow. Oh, not five. A nil. I thought it was going to go for
a
five.
The way he was talking, I know. I thought my full
mark. I almost did. I'm trying to play them really carefully.
You're just giving yourself a room to move, aren't you?
Yeah, it might go up to five at a later date. Now, I know we've probably got hardly any time left. I want to quickly dash through two more. There's a great Australian documentary, Girls Can't Surf, okay, from director, unfortunately a bloke director, Christopher Nellius, but, you know, he does a good job. And basically this is a rousing doco about the woman who pushed and pushed and pushed to get equal recognition for women in surfing back in the 80s.
Yeah.
It was a really hyper-masculine kind of dude bro culture. Now, what I love about this documentary, which kicks off, by the way, with Joan Jett, Bad Reputation.
Right.
But it interviews a heap of stars from Australia, the US, you know, to South Africa. But there's heaps of Aussies in here, including some queer Aussies, including Jodie Cooper, who grew up in the western tip of WA, worshipped her surfy dad and brothers, hated when people would say, oh, you're really good for a girl. Like, she just wanted to be known as a good surfer. You know, there's some incredible footage as well. Like, there's a shot of her, you know, they tried to make them wear these ridiculous bikinis, and there's a great shot of her, like, doing this incredible catching a wave while also adjusting her bra strap. Come on, talk about multitasking. That is true talent. If you can do that and pull off the moves, you know. She had an incredible story because she accidentally left out her diary, which revealed that she was homosexual. So, you know, she kind of got tarred by some of her colleagues, but she got dropped by sponsors.
Oh.
An indomitable spirit just kept going. Look, there's so many great people in here, including Aussies, Pauline Menser and Pam Burridge. It's a really, you know, it's one of those kind of rousing docos. It's maybe a little long. It's very simple, you know, to camera. But look, if you love great stories, and especially just in the wake of International Women's Day, I'm going to give it 4 stars. It's a really fun
docos. Excellent.
Now, finally, I'm going to end on a downer. opening next, those two films are out now. Opening next week in cinemas is Crisis, by writer-director Nicholas Jarecki. And I wish, you know, when you call a film a name like Crisis,
you
kind of expect a little bit of oomph.
Yeah.
My goodness, this is the dullest thriller I've seen in a very long time. So it's about the opioid crisis in America and, you know, Big Pharma pushing really addictive prescription drugs, massive crisis in the country. on one hand, you've got, it's got lots of little bitty storylines. You've got Armie Hammer, who's had all sorts of controversy if you've been following the news of late. Now, he plays an FBI agent trying to, you know, bust a smuggling, you know, outfit across the Canadian border. Lily Rose Depp is totally wasted as his addict sister. He's really wooden. Then you've got Lost star Evangeline Lilly, who's a recovering addict who unfeasibly turns into a kind of detective when her son dies, but they don't really do any work in getting you to know her son, so you don't really care. And then last but not but very much least, you've got Gary Oldman in a ridiculous overacting mode as this professor who blows the whistle on Big Pharma, but previously he's been rubber stamping and taking all their money, and it doesn't really do a lot of work in why he suddenly has a mea culpa. Honestly, none of the sections work. They don't connect well to each other. It feels bitty, weightless, and embarrassingly clunky.
Ooh.
I'm afraid. If I was going to be generous, if I was like feeling really happy, I'd give it 3, but really it's a 2.5. And that's out next week.
All right. Thank you, Stephen A. Russell. Always a pleasure talking to you. And we'll talk to you in 2 weeks' time.
Excellent. I'll speak to you then. Bye-bye.
All right.
Thanks,
see you,
so,
Stephen.
Thanks so much, Stephen. You're here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community radio station, Joy 94.9. For more podcasts or to support Joy by becoming a member, donating or subscribing, head to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.